And my philosophy is to teach people to not prove the business is a good investment. They need to prove the business is a bad investment. And if we can't, then we must buy.
Welcome back to Millionaire University, everybody. It's me, Kirsten, hosting another episode with you today. I have brought on somebody I think you're going to absolutely love. His name is Jared Krause. You're going to love the way he talks, but you're going to love the things that he actually says on this episode. Jared has a pretty impressive story and a really cool background that I'm not going to spoil in this introduction, but just know that what you have in store for you on this episode is a lot of honesty and truth about what it takes to be successful in business. And it's going to open some new doors about what possibilities you have when it comes to starting to make money, especially online in the online space. Jared is somebody who started out probably just like you with no understanding and awareness of what it takes to be successful in your own business and went from being a layperson, a professional, to being somebody who's now on the Millionaire University podcast, educating people on what it takes to be wealthy, successful, and to build something that really works. So without further ado, join me in clapping your hands and welcoming to the stage of the Millionaire University podcast, the amazing Jared Krause. Hey, Jared, welcome to the Millionaire University podcast. So excited to talk to you today. We're at different parts of the world right now. You said it's morning for you. I'm just ending my day. And I love that we have technology where we can have these conversations across borders and just share what you're doing in the online space, because I'm really excited to hear about your story. So thanks for coming on and joining us in the Millionaire University world.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kristen, for having me. Excited to chat. And it is, technology is an amazing thing. Like you said, before we hit the record buttons, sometimes it doesn't work perfectly well every single day, but we're on a roll here and that's good. It's working for us right now.
Awesome. So I can tell by the accent you're somewhere down under. So do you want to give us a little background on where you are?
Yes, I am originally from Australia and I live in Bali, Indonesia at the moment.
Wow.
And yeah, grew up in Australia.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm guessing that because you are living somewhere else and that you're probably keen to travel, you're probably a big fan of online business. It's probably given you a lot of freedom and flexibility. And I want to hear how your story has evolved taking you from Australia to Bali and what you do in the online world.
Yeah, I love that question. So you're absolutely right. Travel was the biggest reason why trying to get online and make an income online. So how I got started is I used to be a plumber and I used to live on the Gold Coast. It's where I grew up. Quite a nice town. I used to drive an hour and a half to work every day and then maybe 2 hours back with traffic. I used to spend about 18 hours in the car every day and doing, you know, 10 to 12 hour days working on the tools as a plumber. I just ended up hating my life. And I was in a dark spot for a while and had to get myself out of it. So I'd quit my job, save some money, quit my job, go travel for 6 months, come back for 6 months, work and then go travel for a year or whatnot. And so I was living in Egypt, working as a dive master. And I realized I can't go back to this job as a plumber anymore. I don't want to. I need to work out how I can do something online. So I literally, this is in 2013, I literally typed into Google, how to travel the world and make money online so I could continue diving and surfing around the world. And that's when I started a travel blog that brought me into starting an e-commerce business. And both of those collapsed and failed because I sucked and I had no idea what digital marketing was. And then I came across a stat. The stat was 90% of all startups fail. So I obviously went, like, at this time I had gone back to Australia with my tail between my legs and was working as a plumber. I came across that stat that 90% of startups fail, and I thought to myself, hang on, if 90% of these things fail, why don't I just go away and buy one that's past that 90% failure rate that's already successful and is already making an income? And so I saved up some money from my job as a plumber and I bought my first small online business. There was nobody around teaching people how to buy online businesses at the time. And so then I, you know, had to teach myself. I bought one, it went really well. And then the year after that, I bought a second one. That went quite well. And then the year after that, I bought a third one. And I had, by the time I bought my second business, online business, I had replaced, I was making more than my job as a plumber. So I quit and then I went and continued traveling. And that's when the game sort of shifted for me. After I bought my third one, people were like, hang on a second, man. Like, you're traveling, you're surfing, you're not working much, you know, 10 to 15 hours a week. How is this done? Can you teach me how to buy an online business. And that's when I registered the domain name buyingonlinebusinesses.com and started teaching people how to do it. And then, that's how we got to, I guess, you know, that phase in 20s. It's grown since then. We have a, you know, marketing agency and things that people can do. They can buy, we can grow it for them, and then we can sell it for them as well. There's different stages in the life cycle of being an entrepreneur and a business owner.
That's amazing. Sounds like you've figured out digital marketing since that first business endeavor.
It was a lot of money spent and a lot of time and stress, but finally got there.
We all pay our dues. We all have to go through that school of hard knocks when it comes to the internet is still so new if you compare that to all the other industries out there. So we have to give ourselves grace.
We do. And it moves so fast too. Yeah. Like it's pretty amazing thing to think how young the internet is. You know, since 2000, it's like nearly 25 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's baby is still in its infancy, I would say.
It is, absolutely. So I love to hear the journey, though, that you've gone from a couple of air quotes failures, because really not failures. You kept going. You didn't back off completely. You still saw it through. You found new opportunities. But to be where you're at right now, where now you're at a point where you can still continue to buy businesses, sell businesses, help other people do that and create education. I'm really intrigued by this concept. The closest thing I've ever heard to it is I had a friend a long time ago who had a blog that was really successful, that she had a ton of traffic and she made a lot of money from the blog and she sold that. I think I've talked to a couple of people who've done that. And then I knew the concept existed of selling businesses, buying businesses, but I just want to hear a little bit more of the nitty-gritty. If somebody's looking into doing this, where do they even begin with finding a business to buy? And how do you know it's in that 10% success rate? Like, how do you know it's safe at that point?
Good questions. Most people do start out buying blogs because typically they are easier to run, grow, and manage because the labor costs are quite cheaper and they're slower moving. Now, it changed a little bit with Google recently changing a bunch of algorithms. It's gotten a little bit not as easy as it used to be. And now there's different business models that are probably better to buy. And it always cycles through and changes at different times. So depending on when people are listening. So where do you go to find these? You can literally type in website brokers or online business brokers into Google. And there's a bunch of different brokers that will come up. We sell some as well. People on my audience, we find off-market deals and we present them to my audience and we sell businesses too. So that's where you can go to find them. And then the next question is a very big one. Is how do you know they're past that 90% failure rate and how do you know they're worth investing in? It's the golden question, and that is where due diligence comes in. So we teach people how to not just find the right one, but once they've found the right one within their buying criteria, so their investment strategy, which we help people formulate, then they need to learn how to do due diligence on those particular businesses. Now, these are people that are buying businesses under the $1 million range. Typically, they go away and do it themselves or with a bit of guidance from us. If it's larger, then, you know, have a service, buy-side M&A service, mergers and acquisition service, where we can go away and do it for you. But we'll stick with, you know, buying something under a mil. And you can buy something. I bought my first business for $15,000, right? Mm. So you can buy something from like 10 and up. So you don't need to be a gazillionaire to get into the game. You can start smaller and build it up. And so through the due diligence phase, there's a bunch of different questions that you need to answer, a bunch of data points that you need to get and ask questions about that data to understand if it's a good business or not. And my philosophy is to teach people to not prove the business is a good investment. Typically, that's what we do when we're trying to get out of our job. We're like, I need this to work. And subconsciously, we try to prove that this strategy is the one, right? The one that's going to work for us. Instead, what we need to do is we need to prove the business is a bad investment. And if we can't, then we must buy.
I like that.
Typically, that is through my due diligence framework. If people want it, they can get it for free. Go to my site. It's what's helped people make millions of dollars and save people millions of dollars from buying dud businesses. So you got to go through that process of due diligence first before you know it's worth buying.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to your story a little bit too. You said it took your second business you purchased. At that point, you were able to make more than you had been making as a plumber. So with the first business, and you said it cost you around $15,000, was that a blog? Was that type of business? And then I'm curious, So you can answer. Sorry, I'm giving you multiple questions at a time, but I'm very curious.
No, bring them on. I've got capacity. Yeah.
Good. I'm curious about, with that business, how people can acquire and then know exactly what to do with it. Are you typically bringing on with team members? Because a blog, it seems like it would just be sitting there. So there would have to be some kind of a handover, changeover of all of the information. But if I'm brand new to business, I'm listening to this podcast, I've never run a business before, how many skills do I need to have to even step in and know how to make sure that I'm not the one who tanks that business after I acquire it?
It's a really good question. So zero skills typically, because you can hire people, right? Mm-hmm. And also most of the people that we help, you know, I was a plumber and I first started helping people only that were tradesmen or construction workers, right? And then I realized, like, why am I only helping these guys? Like, why don't I help everybody, you know, nurses, not just construction workers, nurses, shift workers, any type of job, people that have never even heard. Most people haven't heard that you can buy an online business anyway. Let's face it, right? That's my biggest task is getting the message out there. But a lot of people that start and work with us, they know how to use Facebook and Instagram and their email. And that's about it. That's how much they know how the internet works, really. And you know, through the process, not just my course and the trainings and stuff, but just if somebody was to go away and do it themselves and learn how to, or look at a bunch of businesses, when they work out what type of business they want to buy, and look at a bunch of businesses and do due diligence, what they do is they, like, it's like a secondary, you know, order consequence, which is a massive win as well, is that they learn how the business is run just by looking at multiple businesses. They learn what's working. They learn what's not working. They learn how to run it. And also they typically learn how to grow it, right? And decrease risks and all that sort of stuff, because sometimes they see a model of great businesses and they'll see models of businesses that aren't so great, and they know what a good business looks like and they'll typically learn how to run it. Now, then you also have involved, when you negotiate, you have a training period. It's a migration, a handover period, and you can have a training period. Now, the larger the acquisition, the more training that you typically get, and sometimes you will buy, like, $1 million plus business, you will buy with typically, you know, 3 to 6 months of the person who, the key person that was running it as an advisor still, whilst they're, you know, taking over the business. The smaller businesses, typically less training and support and effort that you need. So to answer your question, really, like, I know it might be a bit of a mindset issue for people to overcome, to go, oh, I can know how to run a business. But if they literally went and did it themselves, like if they literally went and looked at all these businesses themselves, that is the best education you can get in business, is by looking at so many businesses and how they operate without even just doing due diligence on them. You can get a better education doing that than, like, say, a master's in business, you know? And that's why the people that we educate know so much about business than a bunch of people that have gone through, like, college or schooling.
Yeah.
Now, there was another question that you asked as well. What was the first business that I bought? Was it a blog? How did it work and how did it operate? And how do I know how to run it? It was a blog. It made traffic through organic means through Google. And it was not just a blog, but it was a membership business as well, where people would pay to get access to a database of wholesalers and suppliers for people that were starting their own drop shipping business. And that's the first business I bought. It was a blog with a membership component attached to it.
Okay.
Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MU, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MU to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MU.
Want to know a secret? There's more to becoming a millionaire than making money. We talk a lot about building businesses and taking the road less traveled to achieve your goals. But the most successful entrepreneurs we know will tell you investing and growing your money is an essential component to creating wealth, which is why we're really excited about today's sponsor for this episode, Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. It's never too late to start growing, and it's never too early either. You've heard us say about a million times on this podcast that it takes small, consistent steps to build big results. And we love Acorns and how accessible it is to people at all levels of investment knowledge. So head to acorns.com/MU or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today.
Paid non-client endorsement may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/MU. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC. Acorns is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
That's fascinating. And I know that, obviously, I'm actually curious bouncing off of that. I know there's probably a lot of other options out there because there's so many different opportunities for online business models now than even compared to 10 years ago when you first started. So what are some of the top ones that a lot of your students are looking for? Where would you recommend maybe people at a beginner level and then even a little bit further into the game? What are some of the best opportunities that you're seeing out there in terms of the business types to acquire?
Yeah, I think the best opportunities are typically not opportunities. I think the best opportunities are disguised as investments that are the least risky. Mm-hmm. And I like to buy businesses based not on how much opportunity it has. I like to buy businesses based on how minimal the risk is, because I think opportunity is abundant or infinite, right? Mm-hmm. So if you bought a business that had a lot of opportunity, it might have a lot of risk. But if you bought a business that had less risk, it still has the same amount of opportunity, because mm-hmm. if opportunity is infinite, it's the same, right? So yeah. I think it's better off building off a better platform. So that's the opportunity versus or infinite opportunity versus risk question. Now, the next question is like, what are the main ones people are getting into? There's three main categories of businesses that I like to explain to people. The first one is media businesses. Media businesses are blogs. You know, anything that produces media that gets traffic, then that traffic can be turned into money. So mm-hmm. it can be a blog, and they make money through ads on the website or affiliate revenue. Mm-hmm. And that could also not just be a blog. That could be an Instagram account, Facebook page, a YouTube channel, you know, any of these ones that, you know, sponsored posts, you know, on Instagram, sponsored posts on Facebook, any media that does make an income from having an audience and traffic. Could also be an email list, yeah, mm-hmm. or a newsletter business, they call them. So that's media business. The second one is e-commerce. There's a few different types of e-commerce businesses. You've got like Amazon FBA, self-product distribution, drop shipping, all those sorts of ones. And then you've got membership. I categorize this under one category, which is, you know, recurring revenue model, which is a membership or, you know, SaaS, software as a service business. Mm-hmm. Now, typically people will graduate through, I will see people graduate from a media business into e-commerce, and then e-commerce into SaaS or membership mm-hmm. business. Typically, the SaaS and membership businesses are a bit more expensive. They're a bit more of a legacy business, good recurring income, less risk. They've got a higher price point in mm-hmm. terms of the multiple and what people will pay for them. So that's how people typically progress. Now, it also depends on the person's background, skills, and knowledge. If they don't have too much skills in the online space, typically it's better to start with a media business because it's easy for that person to wrap their head around it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people come in and they've got experience with e-commerce, and why wouldn't you just go into that if you already have some level of experience? So yeah. It depends on the person's background.
Wow. I love the way that you've broken it down into those categories, because that's language I understand. I'm thinking in terms of like a personal influencer brand, and how do you sell that when it's a personal brand? Is that something that people do buy, is they'll actually purchase a personal brand?
Well, you can buy a business that has a personal brand mm-hmm. and there is, you will be buying it for a lot cheaper than a business that doesn't have a personal brand attached to it. Mm-hmm. Those personal businesses are harder to sell. You know, if it's all about that person's image and their brand, then it is a lot harder to sell. And I wouldn't advise buying that unless you have a risk mitigation strategy in place, which we can put forwards on how to phase that person out and bring more people in. It's a possibility for sure. It just needs a bit of a strategy moving forwards. It is more risk, which is why you will spend less money on it in terms of the multiple and the valuation. But yeah, it's like I said, it's like kind of the one that has like a lot more opportunity, but a lot more risk as well.
Yeah. Okay. And I want to flip the script a little bit. And I know you do this as well. You also sell businesses. I know Justin and Tara, who founded the podcast, they had their own business where they were educating people on how to flip homes, and they've actually sold that business and I think other things. And that's a pretty good income for them. They're making money from the sale and from interest on that sale. I'm telling you that to know, I do understand why some people want to sell, because they want to have the time flexibility. They've kind of done everything they want to do. But what are some other reasons and motivators behind people, first of all, even building a business that they can sell? And then why sell? What are you seeing the biggest reason that people are even putting these businesses up for sale if they're generating revenue?
I love it. Such a good question. And I'm getting Justin on my podcast to talk about the sale of his businesses.
Cool.
So anybody listening that wants to like hear that, that'll be a great, cool story to hear about how he set his business up for sale. Now, why do people buy? Why would somebody just sell something that's crushing it and making money? it's a good question. I get it a lot. Now, typically, most people are selling businesses because of their own personal situation, not because the business is not a good business. But typically they're like the burnout, or they've been in the business too long, they're bored of it, or they've hit a ceiling and don't know how to scale it to the next level based on their level of experience. They're the main reasons why somebody would sell a perfectly good profitable business. Of course, you still need to do your due diligence and all those sorts of things. However, typically as the businesses go, like, you know, the larger that you buy, the larger the acquisition is, typically the more the person is willing to take less money for the sale of the business, or sell it for less money, I should say, and give it over to a party that's going to treat the business and the employees really, really well and do justice to the brand because they do care about it. They have love for it. It's their baby. They want to make sure it goes in the right direction. Typically, people are torn, like, I don't want to sell it, but sometimes they might have to buy a property for a parent, right? That's aging. They might have to have a health thing that's going on. They might need to go, all right, cool, I've built all this up now so I can go buy my dream home, or I can go buy this home and put my kids through college. It's typically a personal financial decision that drives people to sell a good business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a win-win, you know, it's a win-win for them selling, and it's a win-win for the person buying too.
Yeah. Okay. I have a couple questions. So if I'm somebody who's maybe on the beginning of starting a business, what are some things I should consider? I know we've mentioned one, but it's harder to sell a personal brand. I have a friend who they've been building up a company that's pretty centered online for the last 10 years, and they've been very intentional about making sure it's a brand that's not a personal brand, because they can sell it for more. But what are some other things that we need to consider if maybe this is a route we want to take to build a business with the intention to sell it later?
It's a good question. So personal brand, let's stick with personal brand, then we'll go general. Personal brand is like you need to start to phase yourself out of the business and not have key person dependency on that person in the brand. And then we'll get into general. The best way to set the business up for sale is, number one, finances, is have your finances in order and really good bookkeeping. So somebody can go away and look at the profit and loss statement and be like, it makes sense, right? The larger the acquisitions, you'll get a CPA to go through the, you know, and redo the books and confirm everything. But for the smaller businesses, you know, like 1 million and under, or 500K and under, typically you're doing the financial due diligence yourself. So having the books in really good working order is so important. Secondly, is having really good systems and processes in place. You know, the main owner of the business isn't tied to the business, right? They don't have a job in the business. Somebody that's looking to buy a business, they want to buy a business. They don't want to buy a job, right? So you don't want to sell something that is a job to somebody, right? You'd rather pull yourself out of the business and have good systems, processes in place with teams running that or running that. And you want to, you know, those systems, if those systems are really good for not just deliverables, but if you've got really good systems for marketing and that system produces a great result and grows the business year on year without too much human input, as a massive win as well. It's very, very attractive. So you want to make the business super attractive by doing those sorts of things.
Is this a really good, I know you mentioned, you know, investment, you don't want to look at opportunity and just understand opportunity is infinite. If somebody wants to generate passive revenue, would you consider this to be right up there with investing in things like real estate because it's something that generates more income? I mean, obviously you're going to have a high stance on this because this is what you do and what you teach people to do. But I'm just curious, if somebody has a good chunk of money, how would you sell to them that they should invest in buying a business versus invest in something else? They have, you know, $500,000.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't sell to people.
Mm-hmm.
We just try and do what's right for the person with where they're at in their stage of their life and mm-hmm. their financial position that they're in. Right. If it's better for somebody to go and buy a property, I'm going to say, hey, maybe go and buy a property instead, mm-hmm. right, than buy a business, right? Yes, my business, we make money through teaching people to buy businesses. At the same time, I invest in property and I love property, right? Mm-hmm. I'm buying a commercial property right now, right? I'm just waiting to hear back to get confirmation on the offer that we put in. So it depends on where the person is at financially and what their goals are. For somebody that's starting out, it's harder to get a deposit typically to buy a property. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I started in business first before I started buying property. And I went that route because not only like for the cash that I had, was I going to make more money, it was going to get me to buying property faster as well, right?
Yeah.
Now, it really depends on the person, right? Maybe somebody, you know, they already have property. They've got two properties, maybe three properties, one property. And they're like, no, this is really good, but I need, you know, this is growing in capital growth, but I need cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They might go and say, all right, I'm going to buy, they might have 20 grand and they might have a bit of equity in their property and they pull out what we call a HELOC in the States, right? Mm-hmm. Home equity line of credit, take a bit of equity out. They put 20 grand in with maybe 80 grand they got from their, you know, HELOC, and they can go away and buy a business, and that business will make them, you know, roughly 25 or 30 grand cash a year or net profit mm-hmm. a year, right? So they're making, so that might get them out of their job faster. Right. Mm-hmm. And they run that business for a little bit and that value. And then maybe they will just put some more money back into paying off the debt on the property, or they will, you know, buy another business or sell that business. I try not to be biased mm-hmm. because I think everybody should do what's right for them based on where they're at in their personal situation.
Yeah.
I just do know that the asset of buying an online business provides far better cash flow than a lot of the other investments. You know, if you're buying stocks, bonds, commodities, you're not getting cash flow. Mm-hmm. Property, typically the cash flow is not as good as buying an online business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that you don't want to sell to people. I love that. But I really wanted you to drive it home for me because I'm genuinely curious. I was just thinking in the back of my mind, Justin should probably be really careful. When I first met him, he was like, I don't know that you should be in the room. I was a videographer and I was capturing their house flipping meeting. And I'm just back there like, okay. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I soak in ideas and I love to try them all. I have too many, you know, squirrels. But I genuinely wanted to be not convinced, but I love hearing, my biggest takeaway from that is the cash flow. There's so many different ways to invest and it depends on the goals. So investing in some of those other things, it's going to build your portfolio long term. But if you need money now, if you want to have some annual cash flow, then that's a really good option. And I love, it's a smaller investment. Like you said, it's kind of a good way to start and build up because I've started businesses. It is the hardest part, getting to that point when it's successful. If you can just give money to something that's already working and generate the revenue, it feels, it is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, 90% of them fail, right? 90% of sales fail. So, I know it's ridiculous. And yes, the cash flow is one component as well, but I have had this, I've explained this in the past on one of my podcast episodes. What gets you to your goal faster? And you've got to compare the different styles of investment. Typically, if somebody's starting out and they have anywhere between $10,000 to $100,000, they're like, do I buy a property first or do I buy a online business first? Well, we need to know what your goal is. And typically most people's goals is like, get me out of this job. I freaking hate it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if the goal is to get out of your job faster, earning cash flow is going to help you do that more so than buying a property, because if you buy a property, you can get good capital.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cash flow might not be that high, but if you're just going for capital growth, you can't do much, you know, you can't pay your bills with the equity, you know, because you're just taking the equity out and then you're just making your finance larger and larger and larger the more you take your equity out, which is not a good strategy at all, versus buying a business that's already cash flowing more. You can start to pay for your expenses with that cash and remove yourself from your job faster than buying, say, an investment like that's going to grow in capital value, like crypto, stocks, bonds, property, that sort of stuff.
Wow. Okay, that makes perfect sense. And I think it's so exciting because, like I said, if you're somebody who is listening to a podcast like this, you really do want to get out of that 9-to-5, or you want to find a different way, carve a different path than the traditional path, which is really the goal here, is to show people there's so many different options, so many opportunities out there. So it's really exciting to see. You don't even have to know everything. You can step into something. Somebody already put in the work and the effort to create something that's generating revenue. Now you just come in, make it yours, and generate income because you started with some capital to be able to do that.
More and more entrepreneurs and investors are discovering the awesome franchise opportunities that exist across a variety of industries. Franchising can simply be the better path, and interest in franchising is at an all-time high. Lucky for you, John Austinson, founder of FranBridge Consulting and a past Millionaire University guest, is here to help you explore the premier franchise opportunities today. John and his FranBridge Consulting team are part of the largest franchise brokerage in the U.S. and have vetted the market thoroughly. FranBridge is hands down the premier source for the best opportunities in the franchise world, including both active and passive opportunities. From tiny homes to youth soccer to industrial hoses to pets, senior care to mental health, and more. John has served as an Inc. 500 franchisor and is a multi-brand franchisee himself. And he does more placements than anyone else in the country. Sign up for a free consultation call with John today or get a free copy of his book, Non-Food Franchising, at franbridgeconsulting.com. That's franbridgeconsulting.com. Available in the U.S. and Canada.
Where do you see the mindset needing to be with most people? Because I immediately, you know, think... And I think I mentioned this in the beginning, how do we not sabotage it? How do you deal with people who are like, oh, I'm going to buy this thing that's working. What if I'm the reason it gets ruined? Or what if I lose all my money? It might feel really scary. So I'm sure you coach some of your students with this, but what do you see being the necessary mindset shift to be successful with this?
Great question. So fear is one thing. I interviewed somebody yesterday on my pod about fear, and it was really like how we talked about it was... it was actually quite beautiful. And I mentioned that fear is not, you know, a lot of people are like, fear is like false evidence appearing real. Well, reality is if you have a fear and it causes you to feel uncomfortable within your body, right? Some level of anxiety. Is that not real? No, far out. That's absolutely real. You're feeling it in your body. So I wouldn't say that the fear is not real, but you need to understand as well that yes, you can feel that fear, but the fear is there because of a lack of understanding typically. So if it's, you know, if you come up against, you know, say it's like, do I buy a property or do I buy a business? And you found a business and you're like, I'm a bit like, I don't know, like, am I going to lose all my money? You know, am I going to be able to run this business? Then what you need to do is you need to go, okay, the fear is real. I'm feeling this. So I need to logically make a decision. Do I buy this business or not? Now with that, you have to go, what's going to happen if I don't buy the business? I might end up staying in my job. Okay. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I might end up not being able to retire as early as I want. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Right. Or if you do buy the business, will you feel a little bit of fear? Yes, maybe you will. Right. But is it worth feeling that, you know, little bit of anxiety to be able to replace your income a bit faster or retire earlier? And the right answer is the right answer for the person, not based on what I say, right? I know if your goal is, I know I can logically say if your goal is this, great, go for that. But if you're not comfortable doing that, then you can't do it, right? So it's about understanding the fear and then making a logical decision based on how you're right for you. So that's one, I guess, one mindset thing, I guess. There's a lot. That's, you know, my principles and philosophies on investing in life can be related to not just buying a business, but everything. Yeah. And the mindset that people really need to have to be successful is to first know what their goal is and be 100% committed to that goal. Because a lot of people are like, I want this and I want that. But they want it with zero effort and zero commitment. So if you want something, you need to want it like a tiger. You need to want it like a lion. You need to, it needs to be, it's done, right? I have a process that I call the three C's to achievement. First, you need courage. Well, one of my mentors said courage comes before confidence, right? Now, if your goal is to be a confident business investor and buy businesses confidently, first you need courage to be able to go away and take on the task, right? But you can't just snap your fingers and become courageous. So I said to my mentor, I was like, all right, well, you can't, somebody just can't become courageous. You need to help them get into the state that like, I'm the lion, I'm the tiger. And like in this, you know, not all through your life, but just in the situation towards this goal, I need to eat. I'm going to go away and get my meal. To get to that level that you're courageous enough to do that, you need to have some level of commitment, right? And to get to commitment, you need to know your goal, right? So once you work out what your goal is, I think, you know, there's a thing that a lot of people are into manifesting and all that sort of stuff these days. I have my own qualm and take on manifesting, and I think it can be a limiting belief. But I know that if you, you get what you focus on, right? So if you want something bad enough and you focus on it, then you become committed to it. And once you're committed to it, then the courage thing just happens automatically because you're already committed. Like nothing's going to get in the way because the commitment is there, which allows you to be courageous. Now, once you've allowed yourself to be courageous enough to go through that process, then you're courageous enough to look at a bunch of businesses or a bunch of investment properties or do whatever it is you need to do to get to that point that you've finally become confident and you achieve a goal. It's the same thing that I did with my first job, right? I wanted money. I didn't want, you know, I wanted to buy my first car for cash when I was at school. And I was like, that's my goal, right? But I was not courageous enough to go away and achieve that goal or confident enough. So I needed to get some level of commitment. And my commitment was like, I want this car no matter what, right? So once I had that commitment to the car, then I was courageous enough to go, all right, cool, I need to go find a job. And I was courageous enough to put myself into a job that I was like, I know nothing about. Teach me everything here. I'm happy to make mistakes and learn because I'm being courageous enough. And then once I was courageous enough to do that, then I earned some money, which allowed me to have the confidence to buy the car. So that's the three C's to achievement is you need commitment, courage, and confidence to get to that goal.
I love that.
And once people understand that, and thank you, once people understand that, then they can go away and do it because it's not just like, oh, I want this house and I want this car. It's like, how bad do you want it? Because a lot of people say they want things, but they don't really want it.
Oh, absolutely. My husband and I were just having a conversation very similar to this last night, and we've been in this online space for over a decade, and I think one of the greatest disservices that have been done in messaging and in the just the whole ideal of having an online business is that you can, well, the manifesting is one part of it, right? And I love manifesting to an extent that I understand it, and I think I'm a master manifester, but I don't think it's what most people think, where it's just sitting there visualizing and then all of a sudden things come to you. I'm also an action taker, but something that has gotten in the way in this messaging of, you know, hard work and hustle, you shouldn't have to do much. You should just be able to like create these really amazing businesses. We don't need to do what we used to have to do. It should be really easy. Has actually gotten in the way from thinking that we have to do the work. And, you know, I'm a big believer in attracting positive things to you, but I think if we start to convince ourselves we don't have to work hard, we don't have to put in the effort, which is the essential ingredient to being successful, then we do ourselves a disservice by thinking, oh, it's not easy, so I must be doing it wrong. And then we just stop or we back off and we give up too soon. So I like your take on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks. I got another example as well, and like people not thinking they need to do the work or not achieving results or things that limit them. I have some case studies where people are like, yeah, this person made $3,000 in 3 months, right? They bought a business in 3 months and the business is making $3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. People see that on my podcast and YouTube channel and they're like, cool, I'm going to go away. They go, all right, cool, this is possible. I can go away and do this. And they literally go away and give themselves 3 months, right? Because somebody else has achieved this in 3 months, right? Mm-hmm. And that's an outlying, that's a very rare case, right? Also, this person that did this in 3 months, they're single, they don't have kids, and they have money, right? They don't have a job and they have all the time in the world. They did it in 3 months. And then somebody comes along that's 45 and they've got a little bit less money. They've got two kids and they've got a full-time job. And they go, I'm going to give myself 3 months to change my whole life to replace my income. Like, come on, man. Like, I want this for you too. But let's be realistic around this, because if you set your parameters at 3 months, you're going to get to the 3 month right mark range. And if you don't find a business to buy and you don't achieve that result, what you're going to do is you're going to call yourself a failure, right? And you're going to believe that this method doesn't work for you. But the reality is you failed from the start because you weren't realistic with the time frame that you gave yourself based on the resources that you have in terms of income, time, and money.
Yeah.
So comparison to others is a massive, massive stuff up that a lot of us do. And now because of social media, it's so ingrained in us to do that. This is why I don't consume social media, because it stuffs me up, right? I'm like try to keep myself like a mindset Jedi where I don't put things in front of me that can just disrupt or mindset. Because we get so used to comparing themselves to others now. And it causes so many fears and anxieties within us that cause us to go, oh, I need to do this in 3 months, and they don't achieve it. And then the negative feedback wheel just gets worse and worse and worse. The second and third order consequences that compound from that, it's just why people are so unconfident in life generally these days. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you said that. And it's very responsible and vulnerable of you to admit that and to just have that conversation. I get a sense that you have a lot of integrity when it comes to your business. You know, you've already told me I don't hard sell to people. This is either for you or it's not. If there's other opportunities out there, take what feels right. But I think there needs to be more of that honesty with the way that we do present these opportunities to people, because if we don't start, and I think it's happening more and more, you're not on social media, you're not consuming it, but I'm starting to see a lot more honesty. It's not as interesting or entertaining, but it's so essential because it's making us feel less like we're doing something wrong. Like we're the only ones who can't figure it out, right? If everybody else seems to be able to do it except for me, we hold ourselves to an impossible standard and miss out on opportunities where we could be impacting people. Maybe it is slow. Maybe it's going to take longer, but I'm that way. I've homeschooled my kids for the last 5 years. I cannot compare my pace to somebody who sends their kids to school, has childcare, all of those other things. It's different. So I appreciate you saying that, and it's great perspective for anybody listening. So set your own pace. Be realistic. I really love that perspective. I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours. You really know what you're talking about. It's so refreshing to talk to somebody who's just honest and genuine and brings so much good wisdom to the table. So thank you for sharing all of this with us. Where can we go to learn more about what you do and just to see if this is the right fit for us?
Wow. Thank you so much, Kristen. I really appreciate the conversation. And it's good to just chat and talk and be real. And you're such an amazing host. So thank you so much for having me on. People that want to find out more about me, you can type my name into Google, or you can go to buyingonlinebusinesses.com, Buying Online Businesses in YouTube. We've got podcasts and YouTube videos and all that sort of stuff. If you want free resources, you can find them on the website and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, just check it out. And if it's your flavor and you feel that like I might be able to help you or guide you in the right direction, great. If not, there's so many other people out there, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Jared. I appreciate everything that you've said and appreciate the conversation. I know everybody else listening has probably gotten so much value out of it and they're going to go check you out. So thank you again. And I wish you all the best with everything you're doing and all the people whose lives you're going to change and impact.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for the podcast. It's so good what you're doing.
Thank you. Okay, Justin, if you're listening, I promise I'm not going to stop everything I'm doing and go buy businesses. But honestly, I really, really did love this conversation with Jared. I loved his honesty. I loved his approach. And I loved hearing his story, how he went from being a plumber to being able to be so successful that he's coaching other people and how they can acquire businesses and how they can sell their businesses. I love seeing the evolution of a business and how he went from virtually no understanding of how the online space works to being somebody who has his own podcast, creates content, and can help people like you who might be listening, who are looking into other directions and different paths and ways that you can turn something for people like you who are looking for different paths and different opportunities and ways that we can start stepping into the space, even if it's scary, even if it's brand new. So thank you again, Jared, for bringing such a great perspective on business and success and really the mindset required to be successful in any business that you endeavor to turn into something profitable. If you're listening and you're at a beginner point in business, if you haven't started anything yet, I hope that you're not discouraged by the fact that we mentioned the statistic that 90% of businesses fail. I hope that it gives you some motivation to really think outside the box and understand, like Jared talked about, the level of commitment required to be able to create the courage and go and build the business and have success. The world is your oyster. There are so many opportunities. There are millions of ways to make $1 million. And we hope that this has been enlightening to open yet another door of understanding for you. I hope you guys had some great takeaways, that you took lots of notes. Definitely give us a shout out on social media and tell us what your favorite part of this episode was and what kind of a business you would love to purchase. If you could just buy a business already made, what would you love to start with? Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode of Millionaire University.
Hey, Eric Fisher here, and if you love the conversations and lessons happening on this show, and you've heard my voice before, you'll love my show, Beyond the To-Do List. It's a podcast about productivity and getting things done in all the areas where we wear multiple hats and roles, but also about the true meaning of productivity, living a more meaningful life. Look, you've got a never-ending to-do list, but add this podcast to your to-do list, and it will help you tackle the rest. Go right now, wherever you're listening to this, and search Beyond the To-Do List and hit follow or subscribe. Start listening and get that boost for your productivity that you've been needing. Again, that's Beyond the To-Do List. Search in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast.